Welcome, Sunday to Sunday podcast listeners. My name is Brandon Swain. I hope you guys are doing well in your neck of the woods. And today I have a very special guest with me that's going to talk to us about branding. His name is Paul J. Daly. I've known him for about a year now. He goes to my church, and I'm really excited to have him on the podcast. Paul, why don't you give us about a 60-second clip about yourself and tell us and introduce yourself to our listeners?
Right on. Well, thank you for having me, for starters. Yeah. And for everyone out there who doesn't know, because that's everyone who's listening, has no idea who I am, which is awesome. My name is Paul Daly. I grew up a Philly kid, born and raised in South Philly. So, yes, I'm an Eagles fan through good and bad. I tell my kids, it's like this season, it's like this is what being Eagles fan's about, disappointment. Yeah, we had a fluke Super Bowl win last year, yeah. So we'll take it. Grew up in Philly with the first person in my family to ever leave home and go to school. I went to a small Bible college in Rochester, New York, which was my first venture really anywhere out of the Tri-County area there in Philly and South Jersey. Went to Bible college, thought I was going to go into ministry. I got out of Bible college, ended up getting married. I was in a band at the time. We started playing a lot of big youth conventions, so I thought that was going to be my future. Meanwhile, started a small business in 2003. So that I could give more of my time to the church and not take a check or take a salary. So a lot of volunteering and a lot of just serving. That business grew over the last 16 years. It was an automotive reconditioning business. We served about 100, 150 dealer groups across about 400 miles. Meanwhile, it started a marketing agency within that business. The auto reconditioning business was acquired last year by a large national player. And now I'm all in on the branding and marketing agency, which is called Congruent. And still, in the meantime, serving at church, helped serve with several church plants over the last 5-6 years, and served as a volunteer pastor elder. And now I get to do fun things like this with you on a Tuesday.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And Paul's one of those guys that he's always leading worship and stuff like that. It's great to have him at the church. Him and his wife just do an amazing job.
Thank you.
And today I wanted to really, the reason I wanted to have you on the podcast is because I've known that you've had some history with Gary Vaynerchuk and stuff like that. You've gone through the Vayner Mentor program, and really you just have a really robust knowledge of branding and what branding should be. Mm-hmm. And I think our listeners should would like to know just more about branding. I mean, I think everyone in the church communication space kind of has this question, like, what is branding? Is it our logo? Is it, you know, more than that? All those kinds of things. So let's just dive right into these questions. Sure. And let's answer that first question right now. Like, what is branding?
Yeah, that's an awesome question. And it's really one that is ramping up in society in general, in the marketing world in general. There's just a lot of confusion over it. And because there's so many different possible definitions of it. Mm. And so I approach ministry things. I think the church has a unique challenge when it comes to branding, and I'll explain that in a second. But I think business wisdom, and I know there's things in the church where, you know, people say, well, that's business wisdom, it's not, you know, theological wisdom. And I think that all wisdom comes from the same source. It comes from the scriptures, it comes as an outpouring of that, even though branding isn't something that's outlined in the scripture. I think that we can really derive wisdom from there and apply it to real life.
Yep.
And so when I talk about branding, to bring us back to the definition of branding, I think most people out there, if I asked, define branding, or what is your brand, is probably the more potent question. And a lot of people show me their logo, talk about their name. Some people bring up their mission, their tagline, their vision statement, their core values, their beliefs, the color scheme, sounds, right? All these things. And they'll say, well, that's my brand. Here's my brand. Let me show you my brand. Mm-hmm. And it's impossible to show somebody your brand, because brand, those things are all expressions of your brand.
Right.
They are not your brand. And I think that's the first thing, that if the thinking can just pivot a little bit from that to begin with, that is not my brand. You start there. And the best definition of branding I've ever heard is from marketing guru Seth Godin. And I know a lot of people in the audience are probably familiar with him.
Mm-hmm.
If not, it's Seth Godin, G-O-D-I-N. And he basically outlines this definition. If you just Google Seth Godin branding, I'm gonna chop it up a little bit here when I say it. But really, it's a set of feelings, or it doesn't say feelings, a set of expectations, tendencies to either move toward or away from a certain organization or another organization. It really is something that is not defined by a color. Mm. It is defined, I break it down, I say, well, brand is actually a feeling. Mm. Brand is how we feel when we come into contact with another organization. And that could be via someone else's review. That could be via seeing the logo. It could be buying a product, attending a service, right? All of these things make up our interpretation of what that brand is. Right. So really the truth is that there is no truth about what your brand is. You can just do your best to make it what you think it's supposed to be, yeah. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So brand is a feeling. And so if I could leave everybody from this podcast to go away with, what is your brand? Your brand is a feeling. And it's not the feeling you have. It's a feeling the other person has. Mm. So it's the feeling the customer has, the feeling that the attendee has, or the right. visitor has,
right.
or you know, the people that listen to media online have.
Right.
So that's what branding really is. It's a feeling.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. We should be leaving, as churches, we should be leaving everlasting feeling, like something that people are going to go home with and say, wow, that I really felt welcomed or felt at home there, those kinds of things.
Sure.
That's great. Yeah. Moving on to the next question. So since we've defined branding as a feeling, why does that matter as churches? Like, why should we make people feel something? Like, what's that? What does that matter for organizations, for churches, yeah. all those kinds of things?
There's a little difference between a church and an organization in this situation. You know, we're talking about Reformed Christian churches. I'm assuming that's the audience mostly.
Yeah.
The thing I mentioned just a second ago, that there's a little bit of a complexity when it comes to church branding. With a business, it's a lot simpler, right? I am for profit. I'm trying to get you to buy a product,
right?
And that understanding is very much agreed upon. When you walk into a store, you know they're trying to sell you something.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then as a brand, what I'm going to try to do is connect with you
yeah.
on a personal level on why you should buy it or why it's a part of who you are. With a church, it's a little bit different, I think, because the church's brand primarily is that we are Christians. We are the church. That is our brand. Like our brand, our identity, right? In branding, you talk about what is your brand identity?
Yeah.
Well, our brand identity as Christians is already predetermined.
Right.
Right. In the truest sense of it, our identity is wrapped up in the person and work of Jesus.
Yep.
And the end. Mm-hmm. So like we can't add to that, right. although we try really hard to.
Yeah.
And the complexity is like, how can we come alongside of that to connect with people without trying to add to it?
Right.
I don't even remember what your question was.
Why? That's okay. Let's just move on. No. Why does so? That's great. I mean, but why does it matter as a?
Gotcha.
Why does
branding matter? Why does branding matter? Branding, as we're talking about it today, matters because people are the connecting point, and a brand aligns people to a certain feeling.
Right.
Back to feeling, right?
Yeah.
So branding matters in church because you can identify the feeling that you want people to have when they come, when they visit, and then this is the complex part, right? In order so that they will then identify that feeling, which in an ideal sense is authentic,
right?
Is a real feeling, not a manufactured one.
Right.
They will identify that feeling with one that like, oh, that's what the church is, right? Oh, that's what it is to be a Christian.
Yeah.
So that's why it matters, because it gets everybody on a unified front when we're talking about organizationally determining what we want our brand to be.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, and that's our today and age is like just, there's so much false branding for churches. Like, you know,
what do you mean? What do you mean by that?
Like, so like everyone in, you know, the culture that's outside of the church would brand the church as like people that are hateful, bigots, all those kinds of things. I hear a lot of those words, but like, and they've given us that brand. Mm-hmm. And I think it's our job as church communicators and as church in general, like when people step into our doors, they realize for a split second, like, wow, everybody else that's been telling me about this is wrong. Mm-hmm. Like they have no, like, it's like when you find a good, I'm going to use a video game because I'm a gamer. Like, it's like when someone says that video game sucks, it's the worst, like you should never play it.
Right.
And then you actually go and play it. You're like, this is awesome.
That's
I love this.
Good.
Yeah. It's
I'm
great.
Not listening to that person.
Yeah,
anymore.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. And I think that's, you know, I think that's the opposition that we have kind of overcome. Like we're already starting on a back, we're starting on a defensive because we have to kind of show that this is not what we are. This is not who we are.
That's really funny because, as you know, and now the audience will know, like I do quite a bit in the automotive space.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much how we have to approach automotive branding.
Yeah.
Because everybody already has a negative connotation.
Yeah.
Right. And let's draw a parallel. So we have auto dealers. Yep. About to compare the church to auto dealers. Why not? Auto dealers and the church at large, right?
Yeah.
Different specific situations throughout that, you know, might be anomalies.
Yep.
But they both have earned it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think it starts there.
Right.
Is in this understanding is what Gary Vaynerchuk would talk about, empathy, right?
Right.
It's understanding what the other person is working through.
Yeah.
And the barriers that exist between
right.
you connecting with them.
Yeah.
So whether it's a car dealer, whether it's a church trying to connect with somebody, being very upfront with the fact that, like, I cannot judge that other person's feeling bad or feeling hesitant yeah. or feeling defensive because, look, when I take a look around at the church at large or, you know, the auto and auto dealers at large,
yep.
people really have a reason to be upset, usually. Now, the other side of that argument would be, or not another side of it, but a little more color to it would be, I've also watched, I haven't seen dealers do this yet, I've seen the church go way far in the other direction.
Yeah.
And say, we're just going to apologize and we're going to really ignore the scriptures and what they say so that we will be liked.
Right.
Right. That's the dangerous other side of it. Right. Yeah. And then it's almost like, you know, you see a lot of organizations springing up that are just fun to be at.
Yeah.
And they're just likable.
Right.
And you have these likable pastors with a likable message.
Yeah.
And when you read the Bible, it's not a likable message.
Right.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? It's
yeah.
not an easy thing.
Right.
And so, like, that's the flip side of it. But without a doubt, like, acknowledging up front, like, there's an earned hesitancy
yeah.
that exists.
Right.
And start there.
Yeah.
Right. And everybody, sometimes, look, sometimes other people will use it as an excuse.
Yep.
Right. Oh, well, my friend had a bad experience, so I'm going to use it as a reason to hate you
yeah.
and not want anything that you're about because of what my friend said. But really, internally, they just want to do what they want to do. And maybe they are a little
right.
convicted, or maybe they do think that they should go more.
Yep.
But it's an easy out to make themselves feel better.
Yeah.
It's complex, right?
Yeah.
Humans are complex.
Oh, yeah.
So complex.
Oh, for sure.
So it's going on both. And, you know, from the Christian standpoint, it's like we always have this element of sin,
yeah.
right, that we try to be as clear as we can on
yeah.
and operate in that way. So all yeah. the way back, but yes, it is so important, I think, that the church approaches branding with an empathetic voice
right.
and an empathetic way of saying, like, okay, like, I understand why people already have a predisposed, you know, opinion of me.
Right. And let me just get your thoughts on this real quick, as I was hearing you talk and I just thought about this. Would you say that branding is a somewhat, I don't want to say tool, but like, a means by which we can help people overcome barriers in getting to
absolutely
the church?
Absolutely. Because
like, yeah.
branding is connection.
Yeah.
Right? It's a feeling of connection. And I use the example all the time that I wear Nikes and I don't wear any other sneakers. Right? I didn't buy Nikes because they sent me a coupon when I was sneaker shopping.
Yeah.
Like Adidas or Puma or whoever else could send me a coupon for free sneakers.
Right.
When I'm an in-market shopper, and I would get them and donate them.
Mm-hmm.
I buy Nikes. Why? Because I connect with the brand message of just do it, which in my opinion is people that aren't afraid of the struggle, people
yeah.
that are willing to embrace the conflict, knowing that they probably won't win, but it's worth trying to win,
right?
Right? And that's okay. Part of life is being hard,
mm-hmm.
right? So like, I just connect with the brand on that way.
Yeah.
So it becomes who I am. So should the church use branding and leverage the best practices of branding and understanding to connect? Yes, that
yeah.
they should, because branding is listening, branding is empathy, and branding is trying to meet the person where they're at, which we talk about all the time in the church.
Right.
Right. You got to meet them where they're at.
Right. Right.
Just as I am.
Right.
Branding is an element of understanding where they are.
Yeah.
And doing the work to walk to them.
Right.
And so, yes, it's 100%.
Good. It's good. It's great. Well, now, since we've talked about some philosophy of branding and, like, you know, a little bit about the practice, let's move into the practical aspects for the church.
Yes.
So what would you say, what would branding look like for the church? Like, how would you go about, like, let's say a church comes to you and
yep.
says, Paul, help me with my branding. Like,
yep.
how would you go about that?
Yeah. the same way as anybody else. First, having lived inside the church for so long, worked inside the church for so long, and knowing a lot of people in ministry and a lot of youth pastors and a lot of ministry pastors and a lot of, communication, I know them all. I've spent the time, inside the walls.
Right.
And I might get in trouble for saying this, but we as an organization put way, and this is a subcultural thing, I understand this, but I'm telling you from the outside, way too much attention on what the heck we're going to call the ministry and what the logo looks like.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you that nobody really cares. So and I know this doesn't happen to anybody listening to this podcast, but I used to have friends that were salaried youth ministers that would literally spend, and this is dating myself a little bit, but literally spend 15 hours making sure the countdown timer was on point for the youth meeting.
Oh my gosh.
And it's like, I'm telling you, you're wasting your time.
Yeah.
You're wasting the church's money.
Right.
And there are other people to connect with. So, rant over. But the bottom line is, what should a church do to, start attacking the brand, right? Start cultivating that.
Yep.
Well, number one, realizing it's about listening first.
Mm.
Right now, a church, because we know that our brand is Christian,
mm-hmm.
right? Our brand is wrapped up in the identity of someone else, right? So we'll start there. So
what
is our flavor? Not our flavor of Christianity, not our flavor of doctrine, but what is our flavor of the type of people that would connect with the body through us?
Yep.
Right? So every church has their own personality.
Right.
They have their own type of venue. They have their own type of preaching and type of music. And I, for one, am not opposed to letting other people know what that is. Right? I hear some camps are saying, well, the church has to be like everybody. It is welcoming to everybody, but it really, we're talking about the church being Sunday morning, right? To start, right? Getting people to affiliate with this congregation, right?
Yeah.
And then from there, it's usually the touch point, right? The touch point is a Sunday morning service or somebody that goes to that Sunday morning service, right?
Yep.
Ideally, it would be that.
Yeah.
So we talk about in our church, right?
Yeah.
If the first time you interact with us is because you walked in Sunday, it's like we probably missed the ball somewhere.
Right.
So think about why somebody in your community, thinking community first, right? Because there's a geographic specificity.
Right.
Why that person might find a connection with this congregation.
Yep.
So our church renovation, we have now like a zillion kids under five.
Oh yeah, it's crazy.
Like we had none when we started the church. Like we had like a handful, but now it's like we're outnumbered.
Yeah.
It's like little gremlins running everywhere, right? So, meaning other families with little gremlins,
right,
might really feel comfortable here.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they don't feel like their kids are causing a problem. Why? Because the kids are running the show.
Oh yeah,
right?
For sure.
Right, and people are cool with that. Like, we don't get really upset if a kid cries in service.
Yeah.
Or if, you're tripping over them a little bit at the end of the service.
Yeah.
Right, so that is an important part to tell. Like, I would say that's what we consider as part of our brand.
Yeah,
and a part of our brand message, right?
Yep.
We are a place where kids can be kids.
Yeah.
Right? And that becomes part of our brand.
Yeah.
We're not saying anything about theology, mm-hmm. except for the fact that we value our children.
Right.
Right? We are communicating that.
Yeah.
And so, like, what are the other touch points? Sometimes you're going to be near a college, right?
Yeah.
So it really might be a benefit to, hey, we make it easy for you to stay connected through technology to this group of people.
Mm-hmm.
That's important. If you're near a retirement home, they'll never come. Why? Because they want to get away from technology.
Yeah.
So technology becomes part of your brand as a particular expression of the church, right?
Right.
It's not your brand as a Christian.
Yeah.
And I think that gets a little hairy there.
Yeah.
Because people think, well, I'm a hipster Christian, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm an ESV guy.
Right.
I'm a reform, right? And that's really where it starts to divide.
Yeah.
Right? But we're talking about, if you think of concentric circles, right? In the very center is die.
Mm-hmm.
Right around that, the next circle out is divide. The next one is debate. And the last one is decide, right? In the center, there are things as Christians we will die for.
Yep.
The next layer, there are things over through history Christians have divided over,
mm-hmm.
right? The next layer is debate, right? And the problem happens when you start to move toward the middle, when you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Right? We're dividing when we should be debating.
Yeah.
We're dying when we should be dividing.
Yeah.
Right? And the last one is decide.
Yep.
Right? Should my kids go out for Halloween?
Yeah.
That is not a divide issue.
Yeah.
That is a decide issue. Right. And so when you get through that, I see that technology and are we going to have drums in the worship service and are the kids going to be able to run around after service? Right. Those are decide issues. So I think the church branding a lot of the time should live in the decide realm.
Right.
Right now, granted, there are theological issues that like when we talk about like, you know, the membership covenant, things like that.
Right.
That's not necessarily the brand that we're talking about, because really I'm assuming that when we talk about brand, we're talking about letting other people, non-Christians, understand what it is that we're about.
Yeah.
Am I right there?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah. So I think that we need to live in that outside circle of decide when we talk about branding.
Yeah. Especially because that's what those decide issues, like you were saying, is a great point is about renovation, is that the kids are running around all throughout the service. Like when we show that like on our website and through social media, those kinds of things, that piques the interest of somebody who's not necessarily a Christian. Whereas like, you know, if you're marketing to a Christian, then you show the theological sides of things, show the worship, those kinds of things.
Right, because those are the things, right? Empathy, right? That's what matters to them.
Right.
We've already narrowed them into a certain camp. So if you're already a believer, like, let's tell you about like the type of preaching you're going to get.
Yeah.
Yeah,
those kinds of things. But as those, and not to say that it's not important. We're not saying those things aren't important at all, because they are.
Sure.
But what's going to pique the interest of someone who's a non-believer, and what essentially is our goal as a church, right, is to bring the non-believers in, is those types of things that we should be putting forth in our branding. And I think what you said, too, to kind of distill what you said, is that those are the building blocks of our brand as churches should be, first, Christ, because we need to realize our identity is in Christ, and branding is identity and stuff like that. So our identity is in Christ, so therefore that's our brand. But what builds on top of that is that is the unique things that God has given us in our geographies, the people that go to our
church.
Great
way to put that.
And that's kind of like, you know, what we should be looking at. So what has God given us? Like, you know, renovation, tons of kids running around all the time, which is fantastic. And it's just like, you know, most churches, you know, some churches might be like, oh yeah, that's not good.
It's not as crazy as you're probably assuming.
Yeah.
It's not that crazy, but it is.
It gets kind of hairy.
Kids can be kids. Yeah. Let's put it that way.
But it is good. And my daughter, like, I love the fact that I can bring her up after service and be like, you know, just go run around and have fun.
Yep.
You know, like those kinds. So yeah, I think that's really.
That's a great way to put it though. Right. Like layering over top of that.
Yeah.
Because I think that's kind of the quintessential of any Christian's life.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I am first.
Right.
Right. My identity is wrapped up in the fact that like I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
That there's grace for that.
Yep.
And now I know and acknowledge that I'll never be good enough, which takes a lot of pressure off.
Yeah.
Because I don't have to be good enough.
Yeah.
Because I'm good. I'm accepted the way I am.
Right.
Right. And then the layers of, well, Christian, now I'm a father. Right. Now I'm a husband. I'm a father. Yep. I'm a businessman.
Yeah.
I'm a branding expert. Yep. I'm a musician. Like all these layers. Right.
Yeah.
That's kind of the nature of creation, isn't it? Like this, the tapestry that exists.
Yeah.
So yeah, the layers in the organization really do reflect the fact that, like, I think a lot of people have the same layer,
yeah,
right, that gather together, right?
Yeah.
We've always gathered together in small groups from all of, like, since humans were humans, right? And so, you know, if you have kids, I want to be around other people with kids,
right?
If I don't have kids, well, then kids are an inconvenience, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, typically, so yeah, that's a really great way to put that.
That's great. So now moving on to the next kind of stage of it. So how would you start a branding process for a church? You know, like, so how would you get them to identify those things, unique things, as you were saying?
Yeah. Are you talking about like church at large or ministry within a church or both?
Both. I mean, again, going back to that client or somebody who comes to you and says, you know, who's a church and says, Paul, help me with my branding.
Yeah.
And you say, you know, first of all, your branding is the unique things that God has given you within your church and stuff.
Yep.
And empathy and listening and all those things. So how would you go about like identifying those things that they can say, this is our brand.
Yep.
This is, you know. So.
I would advise, I've never done a church. I would definitely advise that you develop an internal and external brand. Mm. And that's not two different brands, right? It's not being two-faced, but that's like, hey, when, you know, we, and I don't know if this is, I know this is our church's mission statement, which probably we would say it's our brand because we haven't really done the work we're talking about much, you know, in real depth. We've never really done it. But like, if I tell somebody else, hey, I exist to glorify God, right? That's not a Christian, not a believer. What do you think their response is?
Yeah.
Freaking weirdo.
Yeah.
Honestly, look, let's just be honest. People smile and nod. We're a very polite generation, right? Be like, oh, that's great. And the walk away be like, kids, stay away from that guy, right? And, like, I think it's just honest.
Yeah.
Right? But if internally, right, other Christians, we understand the brand is, hey, we exist to glorify God, right, through living our faith in a way that draws, is committed to reaching every man, woman, child that we come in contact with, right? Yep. We're supposed to show God's love to them, right? And then other elements of the brand, we believe the Bible is the infallible word of God, right? Then you can get into doctrine. Yep. You can get into core values and beliefs.
Yeah.
External. I mean, that's internal. To other Christians.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not just trying to, it's another problem. You're just trying to grow your church just to get numbers in the door, right?
Right.
We could talk. There's all
that's another podcast.
That's a there are books and books written on that. The other side, the external brand, is what we were talking about, the layers.
Yep.
Right. I would say, okay, what are the unique layers that your church has that you think are relevant to your community?
Right.
And then you approach it that way. Okay. Families, right? Yeah. Young business people, students,
right,
entrepreneurs, elderly, retired, empty nesters, whatever it is, there's a thousand of them.
Yeah.
And you understand what are your core personas, right? If you listen to Donald Miller, which probably a lot of people understand and know who Donald Miller is, his story brand framework, right?
Yep.
Who are the characters that we're working with?
Yep.
And from that point is when you really start writing down and understanding what they are probably feeling.
Yep.
The feelings of inadequacy they have. What is the problem when it comes to spirituality and church involvement? What are the hurdles? What are the barriers? How do those make them feel?
Yep.
And then you come along as the guide and you say, okay, well, I understand how they feel because I did too. Not just saying it, but you find the people in the stories that can really, truly, authentically empathize with that. And here's what I did to get through it. Right. It's back to just being a witness,
right,
testimony. So the brand should really be shaped by that empathy, understanding what the core, you can't do them all.
Yeah.
Right. And that's like the church is for everyone. So it's really tough.
Yeah.
Because the broader you make it, the less effective it is. When strictly talking from branding and messaging, the broader, the higher it goes, 30,000 feet.
Yeah.
Right. It's less effective.
Yeah.
Because nobody connects with something that's that high up.
Right, right.
So, again, internal, external, understand what you're going for.
Right.
And I would really suggest crafting separate messaging for both. Yeah. And then understanding who the core elements, those layers that exist in your community. Pick the top four.
Yeah.
Start with three.
Yeah.
Start with the most prevalent one, if that helps. Understand what they're going through. Find the connection within your body, within your church. And then find that empathetic reasoning saying, like, I understand why you feel that way.
Yeah.
This is how we felt and this is how we overcame it. That's right. Where I would start.
That's great. Yeah. And you can even survey your people, really, you know, talk about, like, you know, just sending out a survey and, like, kind of talking, just getting to know your people a little bit more. Like,
These
are the people that are in our church. This is the people who've come to our church, who've connected, like you're saying.
Right. Because you're going to find like people in the community, right? The church is usually made up of the people in the community. Right. So just like on Facebook, you develop a like audience.
Yep, definitely.
Right? The lookalikes.
Yep.
Well, I work at, you know, around here, a lot of people work at a defense contractor called Lockheed Martin.
Yeah.
Right? So I work at Lockheed Martin. I have kids.
Yep.
I know 100 other people that work at Lockheed Martin and have kids that live in this neighborhood.
Yep.
There's your connection.
Boom. Yeah, there you go. That's great. Going into some more practical things, and this is kind of more so like the individual ministry stuff and all that good stuff is, how closely connected should the branding of the ministries of the church be to the branding to the church?
Okay.
So let's say, like, you know, I think this question comes up a lot in a lot of church communicator circles is, this like, you know, should we have a different brand for the student ministry or the college ministry, those kinds of things that are different from the overall brand of the church.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't have a real distinct answer on that. I mean, I know a lot of people name the ministry something different.
Yeah.
Right. So kind of back to the very beginning of our conversation, like, should the brand be different? I think that ideally it would be very similar because it would be in the nature. I mean, I know like the bigger churches, the bigger you get, like literally ministries can be like an organization in and of themselves.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's a catch-all answer to this.
Yeah.
I think it really depends on how big and how how separated the ministries are. Yep. And not in the sense where they're not, they don't still all connect at the same central point at the bottom, but like when you get some of these big ministries, I mean, they yeah. literally are their own organization.
Oh yeah.
And people connect with them not because they're connected with the church,
yeah,
because they connect with the ministry first. So in that standpoint, if that ministry is run kind of like an organization, I think it should have its own brand messaging. Yeah. I mean, it should be tethered to the underlying message. But yeah. if we're talking, you know, a church that has, you know, a 15-person youth group
yeah.
and like doesn't need a different brand, like I don't, you can give it a name, right? Because that's right. fun and that's like, that's kind of what happens. But
yeah.
how much does it have to be connected? I think it's almost a non-issue
mm-hmm.
because I think the ministry, and this gets back to like what I was saying about like everything doesn't need a logo.
Yeah.
Right. It's good. It's okay to have a logo.
Yeah.
Right. But that shouldn't be the focus mm. because people who sign up or get excited over a new name or a new logo, like, man, they get unexcited so quickly, oh, yeah. just as quickly. A good friend of ours, Jeremy Calley,
yeah.
is an elder at our church. You know, he used to talk about, you know, trying to assemble volunteers for ministry, saying like, I'd never want to ask people to volunteer in the hallway because then they quit in the hallway.
Yeah.
Right. That's why he would always want to meet with them in person mm-hmm. and say, hey, this is why I think you would do good here. Mm-hmm. This is why I think it's a fit. And there's a level of commitment.
Yeah.
And so like, and if you ask them that way, there's more of an attachment when right. you're like, hey, you want to come and help on Saturday night? Sure.
Yeah.
How easy is it to call out? Oh, how yeah. easy is it to like, you know what? It's not working out.
Yeah.
And I think the same thing is true about relying on a brand or a logo or a name.
Yep.
To like really get people excited.
Yeah.
Because I think the second, and it's the same principle of business, right? You yep. can give the message, but if you under deliver,
mm.
right? And you've all hyped everybody up and they yep. come in and the experience was kind of crap or the product isn't good.
Right.
Or it didn't taste good. It doesn't feel good. It, right. it shrinks, whatever.
Yeah.
Right. All of a sudden it's like bait and switch.
Right.
What are yep. the chances I'm going to sign up for something else the next time you release a name and a logo?
Yeah, for sure.
You just get anesthetized to it. In the church, yeah. I've seen that happen a lot.
Oh, yeah, for
there's
sure.
There's always a new name. There's always new problem. We have a Bible study on Wednesday. We're going to call it this. Well, now it's on Wednesday morning, so we've rebranded it to this. Guess yeah. what? It doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't matter if that is, you're relying on that to generate excitement. The more you do it,
yeah.
literally you're desensitizing people to anything you say, and right. then you wonder why you stand up there and you announce it and you're excited and people don't seem excited.
Right.
Right. Like in business, it's like, well, the customer gets the vote.
Yeah.
With their wallet usually.
Yeah.
Or their subscription. Right.
Yeah.
And in church, the same thing. Like the congregation, like, will let you know how you're doing.
Yep.
You're not going to have to guess. And I think yeah. everybody listening to this understands, yeah. you know, oh, like yeah. sometimes I'll be doing music. Right.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I know immediately if I picked a song that people just can't sing,
right?
You know, like just because maybe it's too high or it's like kind of a weird rhythm or something yeah. like that. Like,
yeah,
people, you know.
Yep. And so, yeah, it's listening to your people, I think, is great. That's a great point. Like, just what they're, you know, yeah, don't overhype stuff. The hype beast is all too real.
Sometimes. I see that probably more than anything else.
Yeah.
Because it's hard. People that are in leadership or volunteer, pastors, people that serve, people like yourself who really give sacrificially of your time, like, you're all in.
Yeah.
Right. It's like you're a super fan. Right. Yeah. And the fan is not the right word, but I think everybody knows what I mean. Like you're already bought in. So you're just excited to be a part of the organization and to serve. Right. Yeah. That's an exciting thing.
Yeah.
And it's easy to overlay that on other people. But there are a lot of personality types
yep.
and there are a lot. So it's I suffer from the same thing. I'm kind of easily excitable.
Yeah.
If you didn't know.
Yeah.
But understanding that, like kind of checking your enthusiasm at the door and understanding like, I really want to pay attention to like whether or not this is connecting.
Right.
I think most people will realize that the name and the logo
yep.
and like the, let's generate some excitement. I think they'll really, if they stop and get honest with themselves, realize like, you know what? Maybe that's not working.
Yeah.
And you know what might work better? Well, a little extra time spent face to face explaining yep. why
right.
we're starting the new thing.
Yep.
Like what need that and why we need them to help.
So true. And it's so good too, because like nowadays it's like branding has almost become this like, oh, it's this, it lives in this digital world. Like it's like, it's all digital. Like the logos, all that stuff is yeah. all digital.
Yeah.
But it's more so like you're really doing branding work when you get into out of the digital space and go and meet people, talk to your people
yes.
and just like hey, like, we're starting this ministry. We would love, like you were saying about Jeremy, we'd love for you to be a part. You know, like, this is our vision. This is why we want you to, why we want you to be a part. This is why we think this ministry is important. Yep. Like, that is so much more, like, you can't just think that branding lives in a digital bubble.
Absolutely.
Like, it has
not
to be both and it's, physical.
It
things.
Cheapens it. If you right. think of it that way, you've already lost.
Right. Right.
You know, and even as a pastor, right, you have the element of saying, like, this is why it's important for you.
Yeah.
As your pastor.
Right.
Right. This is why, according to script, like, this is why you should pay attention to this. Like, yep. That's even more impactful.
Yep. Yep. Well, Paul, I want to thank you so much for your
yes.
time. I want to thank you so much for giving us your knowledge and wisdom. I really, really appreciate it. Before you go, do you have anything that you would like to say to our audience that you think might be beneficial for them?
I would say, for one thing, I know a lot of the people listening are non-vocationally in ministry.
Yep.
And number one, I want to thank you for just serving the church and giving of your time and energy. I understand what that's like. And let me just encourage you, like, vocation and having a job and working is really something that God has commanded us to do, right? He said, subdue the earth, be fruitful, multiply, and subdue yeah. the earth. And in your vocation, a pastor named Tim Keller taught me a lot about this. It's a good thing for you to be in a vocation, and don't begrudge that as you serve.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say, just keep fighting, keep swinging. Yeah. Like, it's important that you think through this. The fact that you're even listening to a podcast about branding on your own time.
Yeah.
Right, just says something that, like, you care.
Yeah.
So I'm just encouraged by that, and I hope that you're a little bit encouraged as well to know there are a lot of other people out there who are working full time and serving in the church, and these things, you know, people from the outside of the church might look at this and be like, oh, well, they're talking about branding in the church. Like, thank you.
Yep.
Like, it's an indicative of your heart and your intention, your energy. So, Brandon, thank you and the organization just for having me and pursuing this conversation and helping people hear it.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Paul. It's been a pleasure. Just give us real quick your social media handles in case people have any questions they want to shoot at you.
Sure. Feel free to hit me up, DM me whenever. Probably the easiest way is just to go to my website. It's pauljdaly, that's DALY.com. There are links to all my social profiles there, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, Spotify, all kinds of stuff.
Awesome. Thanks again, Paul. I really appreciate it. Hope you have a great day.
You too. Thanks.